Well, let's look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 11. And I love this book, and I told Stephanie before I left I wasn't going to have a handout. I've been going through the couples of the Bible, you know, and we may have a few more to get through. But I just wanted to look at this because as we talk about our missions program, it's called Faith Promise Missions, and then sometimes called Grace Giving, which is just above and beyond our normal giving. I believe everybody on a Wednesday night, you understand that if you go all the way back through to the Old Testament, long before the law, some people say that the 10% of your giving, that's in the law, that was Old Testament law was given. Well, actually, it goes back further than that. It goes before the law. And Abraham was paying tithes, and it was before the law was given. And so it's always been through the Old Testament. Then we get to the New Testament that Jesus, as he sees those Pharisees talking about giving, and he says, you pay tithes on this, the mint, anise, and cumin, and all those things. And that's good. He praises that. And so in the Old Testament before the law, in the Old Testament during the law, in the New Testament after the coming of Christ, it's always been that believers were supposed to give 10%. Now, this is not a study on that, but beyond that, it's listed in Scripture, of course, in the epistles there, talking about giving beyond those things and giving to the works that are needed. And some people call it grace giving. Well, some years ago, decades ago now, it was popular to start something called Faith Promise Missions. And by faith, you promise to give. And you know how we do it here at the church. It's not anything that you sign your name on. I don't know who it is or anything. But you just, between you and the Lord, say, well, that's what we're going to give. And Amy and I, we fill it out every year. And we give our missions money on a biweekly basis. And so that's what we do. And we are, by faith, we're giving those things for the work of the Lord. So as we're getting started for Faith Promise Missions, I just want us to look in the scriptures of Hebrews chapter 11 and just give a little, it's more of a devotional thought, that is, it's not a Bible study per se, but we don't have much time anyways, but the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the Bible says in verse number one, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we realize that we ought to have faith in the Lord. This is not just for your giving or your whatever, but it's in everything. I was able to preach this past week to that group and remind them that without faith, it's impossible to please God. God doesn't say it's difficult. God doesn't say it's a very hard thing to do. He says it's impossible. That means I could pastor this church and do it and try to think that I'm doing a good job and do it in my ability and not have faith in the Lord that what he wanted done was going to get done. And you may come and say, Pastor, you're doing a wonderful job. But you may be the only one that compliments. Because if I'm doing it in my own power, if I'm doing it in my own flesh, in my own strength, then the Bible says it's not pleasing to God. Because without faith, again, it's not that it's hard, it's impossible. So that means that not only is it impossible in that regard, but it's also for your marriage and for every other area that you delve into in life. You may be saying, well, I'm a good husband, I'm a good wife, I'm whatever. But as God looks at us, if we're not living our life by faith, trusting him, because remember, there's two ways to live, by fact or by faith. You can live and say, well, I know where my next paycheck's coming from, and I know where this is going to happen from, and I know how to make this marriage work, or I know how to make this church go around, or whatever. We can say, I know how to get it done. And whenever I put I in the front of any of those statements, then we're on dangerous footing. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible. And faith is that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we ought to have faith in God. I want to give you three things tonight. I trust it will be a blessing to you as we try to have this faith in God. If you would turn over to Mark chapter 11, and we ought to see that, first of all, if we're going to have this faith in God, that we ought to be studying the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Mark, looking at chapter 11, verse 22. So we're commanded here in this passage to have power and faith. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up, verse 20. And Peter came, verse 21, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, unto them, have faith in God. And he goes on to say, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe in those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, or you receive them, and you shall have them. And so we ought to build our faith by studying Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if you were around Christ? Well, let's look at it in a more modern illustration. When you're around somebody who's very good at something, well, you start picking up on some of the things they do, whatever that is, building. You've got somebody who's a skilled builder, and you're nothing but a grunt laborer. You just carry tools and equipment or supplies back and forth. But you start hanging around that person. That's how you learn. You start seeing, well, that's how he makes those cuts, and that's how he does this, and that's how he did this. And so as a young boy, I would help. My dad would build things, and so I was just the one that was the grunt laborer. And the smaller you are, the more you got a grunt to carry some of that stuff. And so you didn't dare delve into the elite of the people and that actually do some things. You just carried stuff. But the longer you went, the more you realize, okay, after you got the stuff carried over, then you start watching. And then as you get a little better, he lets you start making some cuts, you know, measure twice, cut once, all that stuff. And he starts letting you do some of those things. Well, it rubs off on you. Amen. Well, can you imagine being around the Lord Jesus Christ? As the disciples had the wonderful privilege of being around him. I mean, we've got nothing but this lunch from this boy, and before we know it, we're feeding 5,000 men plus ladies and children. And the Bible doesn't record that they go do any of that, but it surely does build their faith. And then you see him raise people from the dead. You see him heal people's illnesses. You see all of these things. And so you get to be encouraged that maybe these things are possible. Not only do I think they might be possible, I know they are possible because I've seen them done. And then you say, yes, but what do you do with that information? Because you can't be a faith healer. You can't be somebody that does that. No, you can't. But you've been around the one that does. And so you see those things. And then you come now to our day and you realize, yes, but none of us are seeing Christ. Well, if you do, you don't come back. If you do see the Lord Jesus Christ, if I see him tonight, I'm not preaching Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? I'll be dead is what I'm saying if I see him tonight. But none of us are seeing him, but we are looking at him in the scriptures. And so we're studying Christ. And so we're looking at him. I hope we are on a regular basis. We're looking. You say, well, I don't read every part about him. Well, it's all about him. This is his book. In the Old Testament, he's back there. In the New Testament, he's in there. In those parts that are hard to understand, he's in there. In those parts where you kind of get a little drowsy, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so begat so-and-so, and they lived this. He's in all of those things. That's his book. And some are more interesting to read than others, of course. But so we build our faith. They got to build their faith when they hear him said, have faith in God. Well, we get to read these stories. And we get to do that. So if we're going to build that faith in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without it, then we're going to have to study Christ. But not only that, if you're in Mark, look back in Matthew, go back a book in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. Not only do we have to study Christ, but we also have to be studying his book that we talked about. Chapter 4, verse number 4. You'll recognize it when you get there. So this is on that time when the devil tries to tempt Christ. Verse number 4, but he answereth and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we not only study Christ, yes, but we study the way we study Christ is not that we just sit there and say, Lord, help me know more about you. Sometimes people will say, I want to know Jesus Christ more. And I think that's a worthy goal for us Christians. I want to know Jesus more. I can tell you exactly how to do it. It's not just sit there and say, Lord, make me more like you. It's by getting into his word. Because that's how we find out who he is. Because if we don't and we just have sincerity and we say, Lord, I want to be more like you and I'm going to sit here and I ask you to make me more like you. You may have some thoughts come on your mind that aren't from the scriptures. And so you got to worry about people when they get their authority or they get their motivation or they get their movement or they get whatever it is from anything other than the Word of God. People say, well, I had a vision. I had a dream. And if God can lead in any of those ways. God is not limited. But if any of those ways don't line up with Scripture, that wasn't God. What I'm saying is, you may have a thought that comes to your mind, and it may be God that brought that thought to your mind. But if it doesn't line up with Scripture, you can count it out. You can count it out because it wasn't God. Someone came to my pastor and said, Pastor, God's led me. And he said, really, what's he leading you? He said, well, lead me to divorce my wife, and I'm going to go marry this person that is supposed to be the one I'm supposed to be with. Of course, you know what Pastor Norris told him. He says, no, and took him right to Scriptures. No, the Bible says if you're married to a wife, then he said, she may not have been Mrs. Wright, but she is now because she's the right one now after you get there. So you can get lots of ideas that are anti-Scripture, but you thought you got them in a meditative mood or you were sincere. But we can be sincerely wrong. So if we're going to have faith in God, we have to study Christ, and we have to be studying our Bible. And then back in Hebrews where we started, I should have had you keep your place there. We also study other men of faith, and that's from the Scriptures as well, because back in that passage there in Hebrews, back in verse number 5, Enoch, he walked with God. He was not, the Bible says, for God took him. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. In verse number 7, but by faith, Noah, and Abraham and Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all these people. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. And we understand all of these people by faith in verse number 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And so we learn not only the definition of faith, but then we also see these illustrations of faith. So if you are taking notes, we ought to have faith in God. We believe, we build our faith by studying Christ. We build our faith by studying the Bible. And then we build our faith by studying other men in the Bible that have exercised that faith. And I could go just a step further. If you look at godly men who also follow the Lord, as the Apostle Paul said to people, follow me as I follow Christ. That one's the only one I have to be, just give the little disclaimer on. You have to be careful because even good men who were following Christ at one point may not be following Christ at this point. That's why Paul put that disclaimer on there. Follow me as I follow Christ. I try to lead people in the right direction, but I leave that same disclaimer. Don't just trust me because I said it. Because better men than me have gone off the wrong path and led people astray. So we have next month the opportunity to have our Faith Promise Missions Month, Grace Giving, whatever you want to call it. And so tonight I just felt led that we ought to just lay a little bit of the groundwork for this faith part. That faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things not seen. And so we see that it's impossible to please the Lord without that. So tonight, as we get started for month of September, then we are going to ask God to, by faith, lead us into how we ought to help in our missions program. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for this time to be in your house. It's been a little different service. I hope people haven't minded. Dear Lord, it's been heavy on my heart since I've been thinking about seeing all these things with what's going on in Brazil, that we would just get this opportunity as a church family to kind of come together and see some of the work, but then also realize that this has happened because people have stepped out by faith and they gave some money that they could have easily spent on other things, but instead they gave it to you. You put it on our church, you put on Preacher Lassie's heart years ago to take on these good works, and then now we get to see the fruits of them. What a privilege, dear Lord. We are standing on the shoulders of giants that have gone on before us, and I thank you for that. But dear Lord, if that's true, and I was talking with young people as they came in, going to Ridge Kids and going different places, Lord, if you tarry your coming, then we need for them to be continuing on and standing on what we've done. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful. Lord, we'll certainly thank you for it. As they're playing, and if you're able, would you stand together with us and Brother Nathan's going to come and lead us in that song. It's hymn number 512, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. We'll sing a verse or two of it. If God's speaking to your heart, I never like to end a service without inviting you to come. You can pray at the altar and ask the Lord to do a great work in your heart. If you're here, you're not sure that you're saved, please step out and come. If they're here and something's God's working in your heart, you want to pray about it, please come as well. Brother Nathan.
Evidence of things not seen. Let's seek it.
Seek first of the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. As it shall be added unto you, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. And whatsoever any shall ask, I will do. Alleluia, alleluia.
I would have not known the words to that if you'd have forced me to know it. So, amen. That's good. Yeah, exactly right. I'm glad we sang that one. Thank you for being in church tonight. Thank you for praying for Graham and I as we were gone. Continue to pray for him. He's doing a missions conference this week at Eastside down in Greenville. And so please keep him lifted up in prayer, and then pray for Sunday that God would give us a wonderful, wonderful day in his house. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Well,